This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. So this morning I read a post by Matt Reed in Inside Higher Ed on absences and how teachers evaluate them in universities. So he's making the case against the practice of judging whether or not to excuse absences on a case-by-case basis. And he's arguing in favor of the practice of giving students a set number of days of permitted absences. Also, in CUNY, we're not allowed to grade on attendance, and it's a policy that I 100% support. Some people try to skirt the restriction by having a participation grade, but I don't grade on attendance at all. I don't believe in it, and I just wanted to see what you guys thought. Attendance, how does it figure into your grading scheme and your pedagogical strategy?
Well, I pair attendance and participation together. I also, I just say, you know, you have three unexcused absences. You don't have to tell me why you weren't here. I don't really care. Although students tend to want to explain themselves anyway. You know, it's in part, some of my students, I actually think, if they just did the copious amounts of reading that I assigned for the class, right? If they actually did it and thought through it, they could figure things out, right? They don't need to be there 100% of the time, right? Students get sick. Students break up with their significant others, right? Students leave their iPhones in lifts and have to find them, right? That's my whole thing. Like, students are subject to real life stuff and they're paying for it, right? So my whole thing is like, if you want to waste your parents' money, by all means, do it.
Wait, was that supposed to be a sympathetic example that they go out drinking and then leave their phone in the lift?
No, I didn't say they go out drinking. It could be in the morning.
Yeah, but why else are they taking a lift?
Absent-minded.
Well, I will tell you, here at Georgetown, like so many of these students, right? They take 5 courses a semester, then they intern on the Hill, and then some of them also have to work a job, mm-hmm. right, as well. And they're often going from one part of DC to the next, right? And the only way to get back on campus in time for their club meeting or in time for their lab is by taking a lift.
See, that surprises me because all my friends in DC constantly talk about how efficient the metro is, particularly the escalator system.
Well, there. Well, even given the inefficiency of the metro, there is no metro in Georgetown. Oh, okay. So
yeah, I get it.
Jesse, what do you do for attendance?
I grade on participation, and part of that is attendance, but I have really small discussion-based classes, so if people aren't there, it really matters.
Okay.
But I appreciated the author's point of, they were saying, like, a doctor's note has a classist assumption, and that some people can pay to go to the doctor, and I think that's completely true, and I try to be really clear with the students about the range of things that are acceptable to me, so, like, if you have to take care of a sick grandparent, that's fine. If you have a boss that is going to be, you know, like suddenly demands you show up for work, just let me know. I try to make it like think of all the examples where class might play out differently and say it's not just about being sick. Because I have had students who have missed for things that I would have thought are completely excusable reasons. And then I ask them later why they just hadn't told me earlier. And they're like, oh, well, it wasn't on the syllabus. I didn't know. It was okay. It didn't even occur to me to ask. So I try to be really clear that there's a variety of reasons that are acceptable to miss.
Gabe, what do you think of participation grades or attendance grades?
So I've changed my policy over time. So I mean, I don't take attendance, although I should say the attendance at my classes is appallingly low. And I don't think it's because I'm a uniquely annoying or boring lecturer. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty compelling speaker and, you know, I got a loud voice. You can hear me and I'm talking about prostitution and stuff like that. So it seems like people would want to come to class.
They'll fill the seats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, shamelessly pandering, but so I used to give pop quizzes on the readings in class. And I would basically follow what Reed is suggesting of saying, I will drop your lowest grade, or I will drop your lowest two grades, or whatever. And then I would tell them, you know, now you don't need to waste my time with your excuses. Like, I don't need to hear your excuses, because you can have any two, you know, any grade you want gets dropped. And I'm just going to do it. And then now this spares us from having to do it. But what I found was that students are incapable of understanding that. They feel like they get one day off because they didn't feel like coming. And then if they have a real reason that they don't have to come, then they get to tell me about it. Mm. And this idea of, you know, like in the IHE piece, Reed basically says you should encourage them to like save their personal days for emergencies. You know, we are not exactly talking about people who ace the marshmallow test here. you know, they just like, they don't come because, you know, they don't want to have to wake up early and shower and, you know, for a 10 a.m. class. And then, you know, when they actually do have a problem, now they actually have a problem. And so I just got sick of dealing with the excuses. And so I switched to not doing that anymore. And, you know, but I feel like it actually is in their benefit to, you know, if you're not taking attendance, at least do something that for all practical purposes is like attendance, like giving pop quizzes. Mm-hmm. And the reason I feel that this is kind of a paternalistic policy is that it just telling them you don't have to come to class, but you'll do much better on the exams if you come to class. They won't come to class. They need like a micro incentive. Mm. It's too far in advance to say that 10 weeks from now, you're going to take a final and you'll do much better on the final if you've come to class and listened to the lectures. And so if you give them like a point a day for showing up, it's like your kids, right? I mean, if you're talking to like a 10-year-old, you can't tell them if you don't do your homework, you're not going to get into a good college and then you won't get a good job. I mean, that's just too distant. You got to say you can't use the Xbox if you don't do your homework.
Well, I think that, I mean, so I tend to teach much smaller classes than you do, Gabriel, right? I mean,
yeah, and for context, we should tell people most of my classes are 150 students.
Yeah, like most of my classes are between 40 and 50, like, you know, except of course, if I'm teaching a seminar. And so, you know, I do take attendance, and I take attendance like sort of in part because I am kind of like a rules following type of employee, yeah. Right? And from what I understand, like, or from the way it was pitched to me during orientation as a faculty member, it's like, well, you are actually kind of responsible for your students. So for example, if the fire alarm goes off or if there's an active shooter, you're responsible for them, right? And so if they go missing, right? And you can't say whether or not they were there in your class that day. That's not so good. And then also on a related note, you know, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I have a thing about serial killers. And I just want to make sure that none of my students gets picked off by a serial killer, right? I want to be able to have as much detailed information about their lives as possible, you know, when the FBI comes knocking on my door.
Well, I'm glad you're prepared for that contingency. I have found that like students just don't want to come to class. And it's like when I take attendance, I mean, I never took attendance, but when I gave the pop quiz, I would find students would leave straight after the pop quiz. And I'd be like, where the hell are you going? And they're like, oh yeah, I scheduled another class at this time. Or, this class is at the same time as my athletic practice. And I'm like, well, then why the hell did you sign up for this class? I'm like, oh, because there's a podcast.
Oh, you know
and
why?
It's like,
do you know why?
Yeah.
It's because they have lower confidence in higher education. That's why.
Yeah.
I don't have grading. I don't grade attendance. And I actually generally try to avoid mechanisms that indirectly act as attendance. And the philosophy that I don't think it's been directly pressed on it is almost the opposite of yours, Leslie, that we have. And it's that they're adults and they've purchased, access to, you know, set of learning experiences. And I'd hope that they'd come. But even if they don't, like my whole thing with grading is that there's a set of skills that I'm trying to teach over each module and over the course of the semester. And I grade them based on their mastery of the concept. I guess it's possible that somebody really talented could take my class and blow through everything without having attended, but I'm okay with that. I You think now? Do you think am I missing something here? Is there a serious deficiency to my philosophy in this regard?
Well, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, this is an extreme case, but I remember my first year teaching. Yeah, I think it was my first year teaching. I was teaching stats, and I had in how you get those. What do they call those things where students get to talk about their experience in the classroom? What are these things called?
Evaluations.
Yeah, evaluations. Yeah, because I don't read them ever. But
you might want to edit that out.
No, I won the teaching award, the university teaching award. So I mean, you know, I get my feedback face to face. I don't need to read these things, right? But it is a tool that the institution uses to see whether or not you're being responsive to students. And I remember in my first year, there was one student who wrote that they didn't learn anything in the class at all. And I was like, you want to know something? I bet you I know who that student is. The student who only showed up to class 4 times and failed every single exam. And so, you know what? He was being totally truthful. He learned absolutely nothing in that class, right? I kind of feel like taking attendance and, taking attendance and having attendance be part of the grade. I think number one, like students who show up all the time, but are still struggling with the material a little bit, like it helps give them a bump. You're like, I see that you're trying. I see that you're trying. And, you know, and students who don't show up and don't do well and want to kvetch about it, you can look at your records and see and say, hey, right? You came to class 4 times in 16 weeks. What did you expect?
So, you know, you can do something similar if you just track the reads on Blackboard.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you take a reading access statistics and you post your readings on Blackboard, you can see which kids download them. And when they come at the end of the year, you can pull up a spreadsheet. And invariably, the ones coming to you haven't accessed anything since week 3. Like, well, that might be part of it, you know. For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.